This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
This is Family Matters on Joy 94.9, your light-hearted look at the rainbow families. I'm Beck and I am here with Gina.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, my goodness. We might confuse people because we were on breakfast yesterday.
Now it's nighttime.
This whole day-night thing. I know that's hard for little children, little babies, adapting them.
Correct. Well, I've got to tell you, after getting up early yesterday to do the breakfast show, I was like a little baby.
I don't know how they do it.
I was having huge tantrums.
I have a new respect for breakfast, our breakfast teams, because that was really hard getting up. I mean, it was going to be a hard day anyway to get up, but that was super hard.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to do that again. So that was the one and only Family Matters breakfast show.
And also joining us tonight as our special guest host is the birthday boy, Clayton.
How did you know?
I know. Clayton is 23 plus 17.
I am. I am hitting the big 4-0.
Big 4-0.
I'm joining Gina.
Well, welcome. I just hid. I didn't celebrate it at all.
I'm celebrating a little bit.
When I'm as old as you two in 100 years, I'll celebrate it.
That's why you're a lawyer, not a mathematician.
We need to work on our numeracy skills. I know you guys were talking about how literally everyone at the State Library yesterday was sitting there going, they've just said 7 and everyone, how much is that?
I know. You can just see all these people counting 7 million in their head. If you want to join us tonight, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949. Email us on air at joy.org.au, on the Twitter, Family Matters 94, facebook.com/Family Matters on Joy. We are everywhere.
We're everywhere. And we are going to give you a hint. This next song is going to give you a hint to the topic we are looking at tonight.
Ooh, mysterious.
Mysterious. I wonder what it could be behind door number one.
You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9 with Beck, Gina and the birthday boy, Clayton.
Happy birthday to you.
Okay, that was terrifying. Wasn't it just?
Historical moment, though.
That was a historical moment. I thought you were singing.
Yeah, that will never happen again.
Shirley Bassey was just talking about history, and yesterday was a historical day, and will go down, I think, as one of those days where people say, where were you when such and such happened? Gina, where were you when such and such happened?
I left Joy Studio 9:15 after our fabulous breakfast show. I can't believe we pulled that off, and ran down to the State Library with Dave, Alan from Outtakes, and then it was just kind of the three of us, and we just ran into everyone. So I was at the State Library, like a lot of the crowd, freaking out for those 3 minutes, waiting for that. It was a deathly silence. I'll never forget that. In those 3 minutes and the angst.
It was actually four,
I read. 4 minutes? It felt like 596 words in 4 minutes. It was exhausting, and I will never forget that moment of seeing my friends in tears, feeling them shivering in my arms. I will always remember that. So that's where I was during the announcement.
And what did you see when you looked around? Was that elation, relief?
When the announcement, when we were waiting for it, we weren't looking anywhere other than the, the ABC app, because we couldn't hear the crackle coming from the speakers. And all I can remember was seeing tears in my friend's eyes And then we realised what happened. And everyone was just, you know, we were just hugging random strangers and we're jumping in the air. And, you know, I just remember a lot of people crying and a lot of people just grabbing everyone and hugging. And it was beautiful. And
yeah, that's amazing.
For me, I'll just, yeah, I'm still a bit traumatised from it. It still hasn't hit in. I felt very numb all day. Still feel a bit numb. And still can just, you know, feel my friend shaking in my arms.
Yeah.
That won't leave me for a very long time. And maybe it shouldn't. Maybe
yeah, well, that's right.
There.
Maybe that's the moment.
Yeah. Where were you, Beck?
So we obviously did breakfast here and then I went back to work and I had this really cute moment as I was coming up in the lift to work. This old kind of big, you know, dirty tradie got on the lift and it was just he and I, and he was looking at my yes badges and I thought, oh God. And he goes, how good is it? We're going to have yes soon. And just got out. And I was like, oh God.
Is this before the announcement?
Yeah, before. And I was like, God bless you, tradie from level 10. So that was really nice. And then in my office, we, our TV at work stopped working yesterday, of course. So we're all crowded around my...
Because Sally Nichols Law Firm, big supporter, LGBT community.
Absolutely.
We love them.
My law firm is very big on that. So we were all very into it. So we were sort of crowded around this computer in my office. There was about 15 people in my office and the thing kept freezing. And so we were all just like... And then everyone was yelling at each other like, refresh, no, don't refresh. You know, anyway, so...
F7.
So then the announcement came. We're all so excited. Yeah. And there's... a guy who started working with us who's gay and wasn't out at his last firm. And so obviously coming to our firm where...
it's campers.
Yeah, it's campers are all tense. So for him, he was really emotional about being in a workplace where people were so supportive of him. So that was really nice. And my PA, her son's gay, and she burst into tears and she's like, I'm going to be a mother of a groom. And I thought even for her, you know, that was a really nice moment. That her son, you know, can get married. And then she proceeded to call him and tell him he had to hurry up and get married. And
I said, does he have a boyfriend? Is he like of a legal age that he can even get married?
He's legal age.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know,
I was thinking he's eight or something.
But I thought, oh God, you know what? Like as a straight single person in my 30s, people are constantly harassing me about when I'm going to find someone to get married. And so now it's just, you know.
Pressure's on for the rest of us.
Pressure's on for the rest of you.
Clayton, you are a primary school teacher. Where were you for the outcome?
Well, I was not at school. I was at a training on respectful relationships, which is the anti-family violence program that the Department of Education is running in conjunction with the state government.
Very good.
Yes, so that was great. But I did go up to the trainer who's gay himself and said, I'm going to be on my phone between about 10 and 10 past 10 just to, you know, he's like, yeah, no, it's all good. Don't worry.
And was that in that sort of setting? Did people realise what was going on and kind of stop?
They actually chucked in a trigger warning at the beginning saying that, you know, there may be, you know, during the day this is going to happen. So let's be aware of that. And I was very obviously on my phone, had no qualms about that at all and just going, and then when I got the results as a little meme from someone, I just sort of showed it to people around me. And then the presenter stopped and went, what was the results? So it was a great space to receive it in, although I would have loved to have been with my kids who would have been doing the whole let's keep checking and then they posted on this Edmodo thing, which is a Facebook for kids at school, so I didn't have to do anything. They did
fantastic.
It all themselves.
See, that's gorgeous.
The other thing I just wanted to say is last night I went down just for a very short amount of time because I'm old and tired to the party down at Trades Hall and the street party, and I just have never felt such a happy atmosphere in my life. Like there was something really special about that moment.
Because I snuck in as well. And because it got to a point.
I snuck in, Gina, as you know, I did not line up.
I snuck in
the fence.
Because they did stop everyone from letting, they were at full capacity and we're talking they had closed down Lygon Street and were letting people in. And I snuck in and as I was kind of looking to meet up with people, I ran into Georgia, who we've interviewed here, who's a 21-year-old child of a lesbian couple and has a gay dad as a donor. And we'd interviewed her again during this campaign to see how she was feeling. And we just ran over and hugged. Like it was just that moment. And we're both like, oh my God, your dad and your mums can get married. How cool is that?
You were then like, tackled by security because you snuck in. But
No, thankfully they didn't. I'm so short. Nobody noticed.
I think that's what I did too. I was
it's
like,
kind of like, I don't exist.
But there was just, there was something in the air there. And then I walked home from there. Don't tell my mum I walked in the dark. But people on the streets were just, you know, like people were kind of smiling. Yeah. It was this really, really beautiful atmosphere.
Well, I've continued wearing my Yes badge today, and people are still kind of coming up. Everyone just expected I'd have a sore head and drank too much. And I was like, no, I kind of quickly went to Trades Hall to do some Joy stuff because, you know, we needed to do some outside broadcasting. But then I ran home to my partner. That's where I needed to be. So that's, you know, I wasn't, I just needed to sleep. None of us slept really the night before.
Yeah.
And, so November 15th, 2017, I think will be a day marked in history that everyone will be sort of remembering where they were. And we'd love to know where you were yesterday when you heard the announcement. Please message in on 0427JOY949. Email us on air at joy.org.au. We already have a message.
Giving you a bit of shtick. Wait, what? No Rose Troche. What will Gina do this hour? Now, Rose Troche was an American filmmaker, producer.
She's not dead.
She is.
Claims such a teacher. He's picking up on my grammar.
God, you're going to be in detention soon.
Is.
And not was.
She was on our show yesterday morning.
Okay.
And kind of giving us a bit of an American perspective, telling us that the world didn't end.
Yeah.
But Gina was fangirling something sick. So it was great. You know what I have to just say? What I loved, the most thing I loved about Rose is she said to, you know, the queer community, take marriage as your own. Like, don't feel like when you're getting married you have to, conform to this sort of heteronormative idea of how weddings work and those sorts of things. She said, just keep it your own. Don't, you know, and I really liked that.
I love that perspective because it's kind of like it happened, but it doesn't change a lot of bad perspectives out there.
Mm.
And why would we go mimic something that has excluded us for so long? We are masters of making our own community and masters of making our own family. So why, if we're going to embrace this, not do it our way and ways that really represent our relationships? And she was gorgeous at kind of articulating that message. But speaking of messages, don't forget to let us know where you were yesterday during the announcement on 0427JOY949, and we'll be back in a sec.
You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. That was One Direction. That was a special request.
That was yours.
It was for my Dave. Because he's not here and I miss him.
Aww.
Don't anyone tell him I said that. We have a special guest joining us tonight. We're going to learn all about the history. We've got Nick from the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives. Welcome to the studio, Nick.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, we've all talked about where we were yesterday during the announcement and how our day was. What about you? How was your day yesterday?
Oh, well, it was a pretty good day. I also was at the State Library. So I was rushing to get there. I had a friend who was there who was saying, oh, look, I don't think you'll make it in time. And I was coming up out of Central Station and I guess I spend quite a bit of time online and engaged with what people are, you know, posting about and about the movement. And I guess I hadn't really personalised it very much, and I was coming up out of the escalators and I was getting quite teary and quite emotional as I was coming up, not really knowing what it was going to happen. And then you just come out, you know, you're coming up the escalators and you're coming out, and then suddenly there's the State Library with like thousands and thousands of people, and the atmosphere was just electric.
Yeah.
And so went up there, could hardly fit in anywhere, and just went up and found my friend, and we just kind of stood up the back and bumping into friends and colleagues and just seeing so many people and this amazing press of our queer community and queer family. And similarly listening, trying to hear that crackle that was not really coming through of the announcement, and then
elation,
you know, all of the glitter going off and everything in the air. So
did they play good music?
I can't, you know what, I actually can't remember,
because remember we talked about in the morning what songs we could play for the announcement.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, we'll have to.
There are moments that I really can't.
Well, it's probably all a blur.
It's still a bit of a blur. And
I
it was so recent.
It was We Are Family, perhaps.
Oh, that's a good one.
It could have been.
If it's not, it let's just been. Tell people it
I
was.
So. I just remember being grabbed at one stage by someone. And you know when somebody rushes you so quickly you don't realise who is hugging you and screaming in your ear? And they were holding on pretty tight and screaming. I'm like, do I know this person? Do I not know this person? Do I hug back? So I just hug back because I'm a hugger.
I was going to say, it probably didn't matter.
Well, and then they released and I realised it's one of my colleagues who's an ally who had been rushing just trying to find me just to scream and hug me. And it was, that was beautiful. Like, I was like, oh, thank God I know you. That was a long hug.
Yeah.
That was a long hug.
It's awkward otherwise.
It would have been a little bit awkward.
Apparently the song they played was Celebration.
Celebration?
Yes. Yeah. Just had that messaged in.
Oh, lovely.
Highly appropriate. Thank you, message. And if you would like to let us know what you, where you were at 10 o'clock yesterday.
Oh, 10.04.
10.04, exactly. And they made a bad joke. Anyway, message in on 0427JOY949. Now, we are looking at all things history.
We are. Now, history. Nick, for those people that don't know, what are the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives?
They should.
Oh, they should.
Well, they might not.
But, you know, look, our profile isn't that large. Look, we're, as with many community organisations, we're all volunteer run. We were set up in 1978. We collect material relating to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, brother, boy, sister, girl life in Australia. We have half a kilometre of material.
Wow.
A couple of 100,000 items. And, you know, incredibly diverse. We're principally a research organisation, so we support researchers, community organisations, publishers, documentary filmmakers.
I know a lot of filmmakers that hit you guys, not hit you guys, but
sometimes it feels like
it feels like that. I know, and I just feel like I hope they're donating or also helping kind of take photos and digitise things, because a lot of their films and a lot of their work is made from the resources that you guys collect.
Yeah, look, you know, it's amazing getting material out there and getting it in, particularly getting it into films, into documentaries. You know, for a lot of people, they don't have the time to spend reading through old issues of the Star Observer or, you know, Capital Q. So part of getting that information out there is doing that public history, is doing exhibitions, it's doing podcasts, it's putting stuff online and getting the material out there as much as possible.
History walk tours. I have done a couple now. They're usually on at midsummer. Firstly, I want you guys doing more of them because they are so much fun. I've done Fitzroy. I've done... there was another one that was kind of Fitzroy but the other end, East Melbourne. Which was amazing because you walk the streets. Has anyone here done the history walk tours? Oh my God, I love them. Because you do, it is a gay day out. And, you know, I know people are probably looking at us as we're kind of walking through. And you always see like random strangers wanting to join the tour and then go, oh, that's what you're talking about. That's a house that, you know, gay men did things in back in the old days. And then you see those tourists that should kind of leave. But these are the places that, you know, we are in now and we have no idea about the rich histories.
So it's a gay ghost tour.
Kind of. Without the ghosts. I'm probably not describing
I think there's also some living history in there.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yep.
But one of the wonderful things about doing those tours is that usually we get people along who add more material. So, we'll be going along and we'll be, you know, walking through the city and people, you know, we'll be talking about somewhere where Society 5 used to meet and people go, oh, you know, I used to go there and this was my experience. Or, you know, being in East Melbourne and, you know, talking about different places that people used to live and private parties. And similarly, people just offering up information. And it always adds to. And part of that is that the richness of our history is so much a oral history. You know, we tell that to each other, but often it hasn't been written down. So,
No pun intended.
No pun intended. Now, I'm an advocate of, you know, while we need to have gay safe sex taught in schools, I reckon we need to have LGBT history taught in schools because I've been quizzing my peers recently and I kind of say to them, okay, list some LGBT history, Mardi Gras comes up, Stonewall comes up, and then they run a bit dry. Before we do dive into some of our own history, because that's what we're going to do tonight, we are actually going to look at some of our history. Clayton, you've put a little quiz together.
I have.
I have a feeling Nick will guess all the answers, but let Beck and I have a go.
I know that you were doing some study before we came on air, so I don't think Beck was, so let's just ask Beck. And
Can I have a question before we start?
Sure.
You know, like if you're doing an exam at uni and if you have trouble writing or reading, whatever, you can get some special consideration. Can I get special straight consideration?
Oh, hell no.
Okay, no, sure. Hey, you were nominated for Ally of the Year. We expect you to be all across this.
That didn't come with a quiz, mate.
Yeah, well.
Well, it should have.
next year.
It's probably why I didn't win.
You didn't sit the quiz.
Correct.
But first of all, I need to give out a detention for not you know, for Beck.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
What's she been doing now?
I believe she was snogging Dave's date behind the sheds.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like something.
Would you ever get into those sort of detentions? Your principal was your father.
Yeah, and I got sent to my dad's office on more than one occasion. Do you think he was happy about that?
Was snogging Mr. involved at any point?
No, sadly not. It was usually just talking when I shouldn't have been talking.
So you're basically in every hour you were sent to your dad's office.
Correct.
Then. Yeah.
And it was nothing. And everyone thought it was hilarious when I'd get sent to my dad's office. Like, and then when we got home that night, it was not hilarious because I'd, you know, shamed him and whatnot. Anyway, this is not about me.
Hello, Mr. Dahl, and happy birthday, Andal. Avid listener of Family Matters.
When's your mum's birthday?
Well, it's actually not till December. We had a failed surprise party last week for her. My dad accidentally invited her. That's another show in itself, can I tell you?
Next week on Family Matters. Now, Clayton, let's see how much history we actually know.
I should have brought my buzzers in. I do have buzzers.
I know, and I'm looking for sound effects, but I'm a bit sleepy.
Can we have our own buzzer? Like, you can come up with a word?
Yeah, go ahead. What are you going to have, Beck?
Kylie.
Okay.
Like Minogue. Obviously.
Do you want a buzzer?
I'll be Rose.
I was thinking you might.
What's your buzzer? Oh, I mean, we want a bit of a delayed buzzer on you because you should know all these answers.
You can turn his mic off whenever you want.
Forget technology. Yeah. That old chestnut.
Do you want a buzzer?
How about Jamie?
Jamie, okay.
Which Jamie?
Why?
Jamie Gardner.
Ooh, okay, we're going to learn about Jamie Gardner later. I feel that's important.
Okay.
Signpost that one.
So my first question is, what year was homosexuality first decriminalised in Australia and which state?
Kylie, I know what state it was because it was South Australia. They are my people. They are very progressive.
Oh.
I want to say, I don't want to get this wrong, like the 60s?
No.
Okay.
No, you're not, Beck. You're Gina, would you like to have a go? You can throw in now if you like.
I'm thinking it's the late 70s. Am I getting that completely
I wouldn't say
wrong?
Late.
Late early 70s.
I wouldn't say early.
Mid 1975.
It was 1975.
Hey!
Could not have got more
half
mid than
a
that.
Point.
Was it when John Dunstan was the premier?
I don't know that much.
It was, yeah.
This is why we have Nick.
Certainly he created that environment that allowed it to happen, but his Attorney General, I guess, was the driving force behind that.
I do love a premier that wears a safari suit.
And pink shorts.
It's not enough of that. Anyway.
So 1975.
1975,
amazing.
Yeah. Up until that point, it was criminalised throughout Australia, and it took a little while. So my next question is, what year did Tasmania, the last state, decriminalise same-sex marriage? Well, yes,
Rose,
we know you know Nick.
Rose. Yeah, Nick, it doesn't work on radio when you put your hand up, mate.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to jump in with my buzzer so quickly.
I think I remember this because I was young enough to remember the hate campaign and the Paul Rodney. I think he walked with his partner into a police station at the time. That's what kind of triggered it off, I think, and almost challenged them, say, arrest me. I think they said, we've been doing homosexual acts, so they actually turned themselves into the police station to challenge the law, and I think it was 1994.
Correct.
Yes!
You know what,
well,
that
no, I'm not yesing that. That was
how recent
1994.
That was.
So it makes 22 years between the first and last states.
I just can't believe that was in my lifetime. Like, it just doesn't, it blows my mind.
Yeah, and it's a very strong part of my memory. Mm. 1994, I was
17, I was in the end of high school. would have been 16, 17, turning on then.
So it's definitely ingrained in my memory. Mm. And I believe it was actually a very, very strong suggestion from the United Nations. Like, it was, it actually came through from them, I think. You might better correct me.
It did in 1997.
Yeah.
So it did end up going up to the UN HRC. Mm-hmm. So the Toonen v Australia case.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, new stuff. And, that's where I was supposed to be the teacher.
We are going to come back to this in just a sec.
You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9 with Beck, Gina and Mr. Clayton, the mean teacher.
And we've got a lovely guest, Nick, from the Gay and Lesbian Archives here. Now, I just got a point. So far, I'm a point and a half. Beck is half a point. Nick is trailing so far behind on our history quiz. But you're going to earn some points now because we were just asked the question, and Clayton, do you want to go back on that question?
So the question was, when was homosexuality decriminalised in Tasmania? And Gina gave the correct answer of
1994, when the very courageous Rodney Croom and his partner walked into a police station to confess that they were doing homosexual acts to challenge the law at the time. Now, Nick, can you give us a bit more context? Because it started a long time before that, that they were kind of active, you know, challenging these laws.
Yeah, look, the campaign in Tasmania had been going since the late 70s, and there'd been various attempts to... close attempts to try and change that law. But it was a very conservative government at the time. And you had, I guess, the Tasmanian Gay and Lesbian Law Reform group who were trying to, I guess, you know, affect change. And one of the things that they were doing was having a stall in Salamanca Markets.
Which I've been to, and I don't know, I've read it. You like some pies or something there,
the scallop pies.
Anyway, moving right along.
But at a certain point, they were, I guess, Hobart Town Council said, you know, you're not allowed to do this, and if you come, you'll get arrested. And they basically told the police that they you know, arrest these people, and they kept on arresting people.
Oh,
and
wow.
Kept on, you know, so it was essentially, it was called the Battle of Salamanca Markets. And, you know, it was, I guess, a campaign of civil disobedience, one of, I guess, the largest in Australia's history, and particularly in queer history. All of those charges ended up getting thrown out of court because the council couldn't actually direct the police to arrest anybody. So,
and they weren't kissing, they weren't doing anything offensive, they weren't breaking any laws, they were just giving out information about.
That's correct.
So there wasn't any demonstrations or anything in terms of, you know, how-to guides or...
How does it feel looking at this, Clayton? I know for me this is in my lifetime and it is something I remember, just even looking at how recent that was.
The year before I'd started uni. So to me that is recent, even though it's really not. So it's just... How could that be the case in a country like Australia?
Yeah.
Although they wouldn't just have a vote on something, so I guess it makes more sense in context.
Yeah. All right, what's the next question, Clayton?
The next question is, what anniversary for Mardi Gras is coming up next year?
Kylie, 50.
No, David Macca would say something to you about that.
Jamie.
Yeah.
40.
Correct.
Yes. Oh, it was close.
Sorry, you were not close. Trying to get on the leaderboard.
Now. Do you think Kylie Minogue will sing at the...
Oh, I'm a bit over.
Before we do move on to the next question,
kicked out of the game.
A lot of people I quizzed on Mardi Gras kind of just think it's a party. It's always been a party.
Mm.
It's not always been a party. And it kind of started, I mean, I've got a tiny timeline, but Nick, you and I were talking about this outside, so I'd love you to elaborate where I'm going to miss everything. But on Saturday, June 24th at about 10 a.m, we know there was about 500 people that marched in Sydney to the town hall to Martin Place. At about 10 p.m. that basically a small crowd were kind of still there. But by 11 p.m., I think that crowd had grown to about 2,000. And that's when the police kind of stepped in at that stage to shut down what was becoming a protest. Now, the reports I've seen, people were just kind of like singing really cool kind of songs like Ode to the Gym Teacher and all this sort of stuff. That's what I've heard about this time. But basically, people were arrested. I think it was about 53 people were charged. And it was the slow stuff that happened after that. People's names were put in and occupations put in papers. People lost jobs. So it was... But it started from more than this. Nick, can you help explain really what... this 40-year anniversary, what it really started from?
Sure. Well, look, I guess the first Mardi Gras wasn't initially part of what was the Day of International Gay Solidarity. There'd been a letter from the Gay Freedom Day Committee in San Francisco to local activists, and they got together a number of different groups, and they formed a new group called the Gay Solidarity Group, who were organising to put on the day's events. In their first kind of idea of what they were going to be doing, there was going to be a morning march, which was kind of a regular thing, but certainly it was going to be a bigger one than had been previous to that. And then there was going to be some information talks, which were done up at Paddington Town Hall. A bit later in the piece was this idea of doing a street party. So up until then, most protests had been day marches, but for many people who weren't ready often to be out in public, to have their face possibly in the media and photographed, this was a new thing. So there were, you know, as they formed up in Taylor Square and they moved on down the street, they got a police permit to do this as well.
Yes, I remember reading this. They were authorised to be there, to be doing this.
Yeah, so they did that all from Taylor Square down to Hyde Park, where they were going to have some people talking, reading out, you know, comments from people who couldn't make it. And as they were going down, they were saying, out of the bars and into the streets. You know, there was a truck up the front with a sound system and they were moving down. As they were moving down, the police started kind of trying to rush them along and hassling them. When they got down to Hyde Park, they moved the truck up kind of onto the sidewalk, and the police were basically trying to wrestle Lance Gowland, who'd been driving it and who was really a key organiser, trying to pull him out. So that kind of, at that, you know, they said some things on the truck, and then they were like, oh, up to the cross. So they headed up to the cross, and they were gathering people from the bars and as they went along. And as they got up there, the cross is really in many ways the home of the queer community in Sydney, in an earlier form prior to Oxford Street. So by this time, the spectators had grown to about 2,000 people. And they got there and they were basically starting to disperse, and the police drove the paddy wagons in, blocked them in, blocked all the side streets. And, you know, they started, you know, grabbing people, throwing them into the vans, hauling people off, you know, pulling them quite violently. A lot of the lesbians in particular started fighting back.
Yeah,
and started,
they're my sisters.
They are indeed.
You would have fought, Gina.
Oh, I'm little, but yes.
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 And, you know, throwing garbage bins and other things, and you know, really trying to get people out of those vans. But you know, they were quite violent. The police took people to Darlinghurst Police Station, where they bashed a number of the people who were arrested in the cells. People gathered out the front; and they could hear people screaming inside. So it wasn't. We're talking, you know, it was police violence.
Yeah.
You know, and I think one of the things that people often, you know, don't realise, you know, it was the police who were violent in this situation, and you know, the community was responding to that.
And another big culprit, a major culprit, was the Sydney Morning Herald, who published names and occupations and addresses.
Yeah, and that wasn't very common at the time, certainly if you look for a number of other offences. So, that, you know, for many of these people who weren't out at work, there wasn't anti-discrimination provisions. You know, a lot of the things that we take for granted, that I might add the Conservative parts of the Liberal Party want to roll back now marriage legislation. But, you know, those protections weren't there. So people lost their jobs. You know, some people actually lost their homes because, you know, people's names were there and their, you know, their landlords saw and they were thrown out. And that was actually published multiple times during the course of the case. So all up from the first one, the first kind of arrests that night, there was 53.
Because there were more marches, and then marches spilled into Melbourne as well.
Very much so. Yeah. And in Sydney, over 170 people were arrested all up.
Jeez. What an interesting juxtaposition to yesterday.
Look at
the paper today. When I was, you know, talking about that beautiful street party that was on yesterday, like, I just think it's such an interesting, you know, like, how awful that people had to experience that from the police too, you know. And now there's so much more to be done, but it's just a really interesting time to be reflecting
remarkable.
On that.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things that we don't realise is just how successful the movement's been.
Yeah.
To go from a situation where marriage wasn't even on the cards, albeit that, you know, that's not the end point
exactly.
by any means, but certainly to shift public opinion now. For example, if you saw the opinion polls at the time about whether homosexuality should be decriminalised, and they certainly weren't very favourable, and to get to that point now is a huge shift. And if you look at similar movements, if you look at, say, the Black Power movement, women's liberation that were around at the time, in many ways the gay liberation movement in its broadest sense has been more successful than any of them.
Wow. See, and that's why we got to love our 78ers, David Macca on Sat Mag, who was reading the announcement yesterday, and for me, knowing that Macca was here doing that, I just thought, I don't know how he did it.
No.
I don't know how he was there, because he carries a bigger history that has seen and felt things that I couldn't imagine how I would have lived through that.
I'd also push it back a bit, though, because while often, you know, people do think about Mardi Gras and kind of often think about that event in as a kind of Stonewall event for Australia, at that stage the movement was almost 10 years old. So, you can go back to 1973. There was a National Gay Pride Week that was celebrated. 17 people were arrested then. The first gay rights organisation was set up in 1969 in July, so very soon after Stonewall, the Homosexual Law Reform Society in Canberra. So, you know, we're looking that in 2019, that's the 50th anniversary of the movement. So, you know, there was a lot of things that were going on before Mardi Gras, and it's important to kind of, I guess, put the Mardi Gras into context of it coming out of something.
Now, we're just going to jump to a quick ad and then we'll be straight back.
Join 94.9 Family Matters with Beck, Gina, Clayton and Nick from the Lesbian and Gay Archives. I'm loving tonight. I love learning.
I love quizzes and learning stuff.
I know, we're so smart.
What's the score so far?
I think I'm winning by quite a margin.
I think you've got the most wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it depends Beck what you're trying to win, Clayton. Mm-hmm.
Me on 1.5. Nick came in on the last question, 1 point, so... Yeah.
Okay. Bringing up the rear.
Perfect. Hello. Perfect.
So on the next question, I'd like to go a little more local. Oh. So, and what year and month was the Tasty Raid?
Rose. Oh,
not the first time Gina's said that.
We weren't looking for you to orgasm, Gina.
So, I know this year because I should have been there that night and thankfully was not. 1994.
That is correct.
Can you explain to my little straight brain what this is?
Okay. So, well, firstly, Tasty was a nightclub. And the reason I remember this is because I was underage at the time. And I was very thankful the next day when I learnt in the papers, not in the Twitters, not in the socials. We didn't have the internet then. What had undertaken, where the police raided the club. And for me, knowing I was underage and I could have been in that place, and I wasn't, and by stroke of fate, sliding doors moment, I ended up somewhere else. I'm very like that, and I was talking to Nick later, like earlier, about this event, and it was kind of for me the ripple effect of what happened with the police at Tasty Raid, and there wasn't a subsequent apology, but for me, it was the ripple effect of police then not coming near our venues, and it just led to, I know, me feeling unsafe in venues because the police kind of disappeared after really, I don't want to swear, but stuffing up that night.
So what happened? Did they...
Nick, can you help? I'll give you a point. I'll give you my point if you...
I thought I'd mention because, you know, it was quite a significant event. You know, it wasn't just a normal raid. What they did do was essentially close off the exits and publicly strip search people in front of each other.
And 463 patrons and staff were strip searched that evening.
So, you know, this wasn't a normal event. They had people up against the walls, just very much in public with what they were doing.
They had to bring female officers, so that got delayed because there weren't enough female officers for the female patrons as well.
And what were they allegedly looking for? Drugs or...
Drugs.
Yeah. Allegedly looking
allegedly.
For drugs.
Yeah, I use that term because I suspect there was a lot of allegedly.
Absolutely. And, you know, I guess the outcry at that case did lead to a very public trial at the time and a very public payout from the police to those people who were there.
And so then was that the experience then, Gina, that police wouldn't go?
I remember always there was a police presence when I would go out. And I know, yes, okay, I was underage, but there was no minus 18, there was nothing to be amongst your people at that time. So if I wanted to, and I was never a drinker, I've never been much of a drinker, but even then I knew I was young to be out. So I actually never drank because I knew that was like breaking multiple rules. But there was nowhere to meet other gay people other than a bookstore, one bookstore, Hares and Hyenas, God bless them, during the day. Or you'd go and play pool at night and meet people. It was so isolating growing up in the suburbs. That was the only option I had. Or wait, you know, 12 months for midsummer. There was always a lot of police. This happened. There was no police. And that's when I know for myself and for my friends, we experienced quite a bit of harassment on the streets because there was no police presence. And that's when my friends got attacked and would be harassed. You know, we're in dark, you know, little kind of hidden places. It was a very unsafe time. And for me, that was the ripple effect. I remember feeling really unsafe, just going to be amongst people like myself, just to make friends.
If you're finding this difficult to imagine, go out and get an org, whatever you have to go out these days, and watch the film Head On. I think it's not exactly the same period, but it has so many of those similar themes running throughout it.
Yeah.
and just that lack of exposure to the community and unsafe and yeah
it's hard to kind of, you know, now because of the socials and all this kind of stuff, we feel, I don't know, it is a different feeling. And there was nothing to be young in that period.
I'd like the young people to sit down right now. We didn't really have the internet then.
No.
It was around-ish, but not really.
There were no mobile phones, and that's the thing. I'd have to call. I remember my first date, I had to call on one of those rotary phones and ask her out.
Did you have to talk to her dad?
No, thankfully she lived at home by herself. I lived with my parents.
It took about 10 minutes to get those things going. I know. Just like, oh, God.
But, yes, so, look, there was an apology.
And, you know, look, there has been a spate of apologies for different events. And I think, you know, it is quite interesting when you get organisations in positions of power, whether or not it's state governments or police, going through a process of apology, because sometimes it can feel a little like window dressing.
Yeah.
And I think part of that process of apologising is a form of engagement, is a form of atonement, and is a form of kind of speaking truth about those events at the time. And I think sometimes, you know, that history is often contested and people don't like often bringing that up. You know, there's been certainly concerns around the 40th anniversary of Mardi Gras and how, you know, one of the popular chants that was spoken was stop police attacks against gays, women and black, gays, women and blacks. You know, and that was really some of that solidarity politics that was around at the time. But there's been a bit of concern, in a sense, that's not the situation necessarily for some, maybe for others, in terms of the relationship with police now. So some people say we shouldn't necessarily kind of
censor our history.
Yeah. So it's a bit of both, I guess.
I think there's a lot of people, especially the people of colour, who would argue that phrase is probably still relevant. So,
And certainly for, you know, I have younger trans
gender diverse friends.
And, you know, I think being in a situation where, you know, we have a stronger community now, we have a broader community, but we have an incredibly diverse community. And sure, you know, I certainly know as a white cis male that, you know, if I'm walking down the streets in the city at night, I feel pretty safe. But that's certainly not the case for many others.
Yeah. Well, we have got 5 more minutes to look at another one. So, Clayton, give us a really good question.
Okay, we're going to come a bit more modern now. Ooh. And this is actually, I picked this one for this show. Which state first allowed joint same-sex partner adoption?
Oh, my God, I should know this.
Victoria?
No.
Oh.
I was hoping you would know this one, but, you know.
I think it's a little further north. Who got a...
No.
No?
Mm-hmm. This one surprised me too. Nick?
Nick, do you know the answer to this
one? Was it Tasmania?
No.
Oh.
Western Australia?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
So Western Australia in 2002.
Wow, that's a while ago, isn't it?
It was a little...
Like, relatively, that's... Yeah,
15 years.
Hmm. Well, looking at some of the family stuff, I mean, only last year, 2016, in Victoria, were gay couples actually able to adopt. So, still... History's being made. Nick, you know, in the 3 minutes that we've got, if there was, I mean, we've talked about some really big events that most people are quite familiar with. Are there any little kind of nuggets that you go, this event really made a difference and we wish more people would know about it?
Oh, sure. Look, I think, you know, there is certainly a huge number to choose from.
Yeah.
I think, you know, one of the things that I find quite interesting is the period prior to gay liberation, during the camp period. Melbourne has the oldest ongoing gay social club, which was started in May 1959, the Boilers. And I think looking at the kind of the formation of community, the social clubs from the late 50s and into the 60s were really important. The Boilers did a lot of the camp balls and events like the Miss Peninsula. And that period... people aren't as familiar with, and I guess the development of community during that time I find really inspirational, and, you know, being able to build community at a time when, you know, things were very much more illegal and underground.
Nick, can I ask a question about the archives? If you were going to steal one thing from the archives, like, what is your very favourite piece that you've ever come across in there?
Oh, there are so many. Look,
Nick's not
going to
steal it, by the way, if anyone's listening.
Look, there are some really fascinating objects
in the
collection.
Now.
One of my favourite objects is a leather jacket. It's a punk leather jacket donated by Marcus Bunyan, Dr. Marcus Bunyan. And it's super kitted out. You know, it's got the studs, it's got the pink triangle patch, and it's got this beautiful artwork on the back patch. And it's a really stunning object. So we have from objects to archives to books to libraries.
Have you tried it on?
I haven't actually. I just admire it from afar, and it's in its beautiful acid-free box.
You know what? We're going to run to the ads really early because we want to keep you right to the end of the hour. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. We talk so much during the breaks, but you are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
Sorry, I was distracted by myself on that.
And the reason I'm wrapping up is because we've got 5 minutes and we're loving having Nick. In fact, I want to have you on again. But yes, Clayton, have we got another question?
I've got one more family question. Which is why I want to throw it out there. Well, okay, family's the wrong word, but it's kind of children related. Okay, I'm not getting this right. You'll get what I mean in a second. Which state was the first to equalise age of consent?
Ooh.
Can I say South Australia again?
You can. You'd be wrong, but
be
you
wrong.
Can, yeah.
Okay.
Not sure. Nick? Testing him. Oh, think of face.
Ooh, Nick doesn't
see, just, people don't know, I'm a sex ed teacher, so like this is like my sort of question.
This is your bread and butter, so to speak. You're
the ACT?
No. Actually, it was Victoria this time.
Wow.
So, and in 1981. So that's pretty decent, I have to say.
What was the year?
1981.
Yeah. 81
people. This came in with decriminalisation, which I think was enacted in December 1980 and then became active in January 1981.
I was born in January 1981. Fun fact.
And I would recommend people, when we're talking about these, also it is so easy to go to the archives, look up information, but also looking at things like the Gay Panic Defence. It was not that far long ago, and is it in all states now? Have we removed it from all states? I don't think so. But I'm someone who always wants to know more about our own history. And I mentioned to you when I was first coming out and reading books, I couldn't find anything on Australian history. Nick, if people want to know more and get active with the archives, what can they do?
Sure. Well, look, there's some fantastic books. And yes, they can be a bit hard to find. You know, often they're produced in small print runs and many of them aren't really available necessarily for schools. So we have a number on our website that are for sale. So you can jump onto alga.org.au and you can find the little shop at the top.
Awesome.
Some of our books are also available through places like Hares and Hyenas in Melbourne or the bookshop Darlinghurst in Sydney.
But there's more of our own Australian history than there was, I know, when I was looking 20... Okay, I'm going to show my age. I'm not. Okay.
Yeah, look, absolutely. There's a lot more online, and you can find out some of those through both through our website and through our Facebook page. We push a lot of content out through our Facebook page.
Great content on your Facebook page. That's where I first fell in love with you, Nick. Yes, a lesbian has fallen in love with Nick.
There's also some fantastic online exhibitions and resources. So we've done a couple recently with Cultural Victoria.
Yeah.
So Out of the Closets Into the Streets, which has a fantastic documentary online exhibition, and Dalesford Stories, which has some curriculum content. And we've also been pushing out different online exhibitions in different spaces.
But it is volunteer run. So can people join and be members and support? How can people support? Because it is volunteers going through all those things, digitising those things. They don't happen automatically. It needs people, needs hands.
It does. And often it is really the simple process of putting a new object into a folder, an acid-free folder, and into its right place.
So proper.
Oh, it is, very much so. And metadata, cataloguing. But there is all of that work that goes on behind the scenes. So we've just in the process of relocating this week, and we'll be in the same location as Victorian AIDS Council, who's provided us free space for the past 20 years, and they're pretty amazing.
Bless that.
Before we move into the Victorian Pride Centre, where we hope to have a permanent exhibition, which is pretty exciting. But you can volunteer, just contact us, mail, at alga.org.au, and kind of we also do some off-site volunteering as well around oral history, transcribing, indexing. If you want to become a member, please do. We are, as you said, entirely volunteer-run and supported, and it's $20 per year or $5 you're a student or low income.
Amazing.
That's it. Yeah. Like, that is so cheap. That's like, you know, if you get a library fine, it's more than that.
And it's so important. It's such an important thing to keep going.
What's a library?
State library.
I want to throw it there. I reckon we need a Ben TV series from the Gay and Lesbian Archive. Just to...
Well, we've popped on once or twice, and we do actually have some amazing Bent TV holdings in the archive.
Oh, nice.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, no, and that's the thing, we need to put up your membership first, Nick. We'll talk off air. But people, look, we've just experienced history in the making. Is there anything in the last minute that you guys want from the population that have been involved in this? Can we send you anything?
Oh, please do. So if you go onto our website, you'll find our postal address. But, you know, we're after and we're trying to document the marriage equality movement, particularly the survey period, which has produced so much. So even if it's anything from a marriage equality beer through to a fantastic placard that you've taken to a protest, some photos that you've taken.
Histories or anything like that
absolutely.
People have recorded.
We'll be doing some more of those afterwards as well, just about that experience. It could be notes. It's also negative material. So we're also collecting material from anti-community material. So if you do have those, if you receive those, please send those in as well.
I've got a lot of VACS badges because I kept stealing them. So if you want those, they're yours.
I can't believe we only get an hour for this. We might just have to steal you back another time. But Nikki, thank you so much,
Nick,
for your time. I'm going to definitely go onto your website. I'm going to become a member. I'm going to do the history walk tours that are on at Midsummer. Please do more of them throughout the year. Oh, my God, there's so much more. I'm going to take you back.
Okay.
You're coming with me. You've been listening to Family Matters here on Joy 94.9. Good night, everyone.
Good
yes
night.
Yes, first.
Woof, great news. Australia voted yes. Here's the woods.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.